Well, hello there, and welcome back to the Nerd Podcast. That's never-ending retro dialogue. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Doug.
Today we are gathered to, that almost sounded like a wedding.
No, yeah.
We're gathered here today.
Marriage.
To discuss the month in review for, if you can believe it, March.
March.
Of 2024.
We're how... Where has it gone?
Time marches on.
Oh, there we go.
There it is.
I see you survived the Ides.
Oh, yes, as did you.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
I don't know if we know anybody who didn't, but... I guess Caesar, but...
Caesar did not, no. So, that was a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, just a few years.
Yeah, give or take. So how's it going, man?
You know, it's going all right. Yeah. I am fresh off the... trivia night, as are you.
Yes.
We just had trivia last night, as of this recording, and Doug, you won third place.
Third place, yes.
Which is good, because you were competing all by yourself.
That's right.
One-man Army Corps, OMAC, over here.
That's it.
I can't wait to use that joke and somebody actually understands it besides you. So.
Yes, I don't know. Who would get that? Would there be anyone else that would get that?
I don't think so. Not in the immediate vicinity.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, well. What are you going to do?
I don't know.
But, yeah. So, how was your March?
It was up and down. It was busy. You know, I was... Well, I have a lot of projects on the fire, as always. And so, March was dedicated towards simultaneously making progress on all of them and making no progress at all.
So... So, status quo.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. How was your March?
It was okay. I didn't get as much done as I probably would have liked to. I think you got a lot more done than I did, but...
Well, you know, it's hard because, you know, here in Ohio, the weather is so temperamental that, like, some days I'm like, man, the sun is, like, powering my batteries, and then other days I'm like, oh, it's raining, like, cats and dogs are living together, it's massive. Chaos. So
up is down,
up
down
is down.
Yeah, left is right.
Oh no.
Black is white. Man, it's March.
March.
I mean, we got snow.
I know. I was going to say, didn't we get snow? But I can't remember.
Yeah, we got, I mean, it didn't stick, but
wow.
I walked out from work one day and it was actually
that's a nice little flurry.
Right.
I remember that now.
And But I did get some writing done
Good.
For our little project that we're working on. So, I think... I still don't know how many pages it will end up being.
150,000.
Oof, boy.
It's an odyssey.
It's so, my grandkids will finish it for me. But, yeah. Nothing too egregious.
Yeah. I would like to take a moment to... say that I am wearing a new t-shirt that has a VHS sticker on it.
Ah, yes.
This is for research purposes, so it's a tax write-off.
Oh.
Business attire.
Nice. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do you want to talk about your project
sure.
at all?
So one of the many projects that I have in the FIA is I'm working on my first nonfiction book.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying to go to bed one night, as I do every night. And, and, I was struck, it was about midnight, I couldn't sleep, and I was struck with this idea, this niche idea, that I should write about the history of the rise and the fall of the VHS tape.
Very nice.
So, I have started looking into that. I will be talking about the history of the VHS, the Betamax format wars, the box art, the way it changed entertainment, and the way it pretty much changed the way we take in movies and TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was niche enough that it was something that would keep my interest.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to perpetuate my love for the subject, I ordered this VHS t-shirt off TeePublic, where I get all my t-shirts.
It's the only place to get them.
It's the only place. And I just feel like every month I have a new t-shirt because I'm obsessed with something new. So.
So how many t-shirts do you own?
Well, I cycle them out, so.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
It's just the ones that I don't wear anymore because I get... I'm just like, I don't have enough room for all this.
Gotcha.
When we moved to the new house, I got rid of a ton of t-shirts.
Nice.
And so I'm kind of building on my collection again, but I'm trying to cycle them out as they go out of style. So
good for you. That's I try to do the same thing. You get some fresh stuff in.
Yeah.
Get rid of the rest. I've started doing that with some action figures here. Oh, yeah, and there.
That's more difficult than a t-shirt, I think.
It is. It's much more difficult. So, although I think I am to the point now where if I get a new one in, something has to leave.
Yeah.
It's we're getting full. And it's sad because at, well, we'll segue into this, that at the new game store that opened in town, they had a Xenomorph action figure that I've never seen before, and it had an alien egg sack that came with it. And it's like, oh, I think I need to have that to add to my collection.
Yeah. Now, so do they have toys there?
They have. So they have action figures. Most of them were movie related and horror related. So
cool.
They had the Xenomorph, which I really liked. They had what was his name? What was his character's name? I'm going to call him the Thin Man, but I don't think that's right, from The Conjuring 2.
The real
creepy dude. And that's a really neat action figure. And then they had American Werewolf in London. They had a full-on wolf.
Oh, geez.
With interchangeable heads. And it was huge. So I may have to get all three of those eventually. space it out, of course.
Right.
Because I'm responsible.
Right.
But
so while we're on the subject, what is this game store called?
Oh, yes. So I probably should say that. Gameplay Unlimited.
Yeah.
Tom and Aaron, they're brothers that own it. But so Tom actually he was the first manager for the GameStop when it opened in Marysville. But he has had his own video game store, same name, Gameplay Unlimited in Delaware, for, what did he say, like 15 years? And so they finally opened up here in March in Marysville, right in front of my house. Literally, I think it's a 5-minute walk.
Yeah.
So nice and cozy, but they've got... this is not a sponsored speech at all. I just love game stores, and especially mom and pop ones.
Yeah.
Or brother ones.
Brother.
But, you know, they've got they've got retro consoles. They've got the consoles that are all inclusive. You know what I mean? The retcon ones where you just plug it in and it has a ton of games preloaded. All kinds of games. They had Atari games on up to PS5. It was really cool. Nice little space. Tom and Aaron were super cool. It's good to see a nice little local game store open up.
Yeah, we haven't had one in a long time.
Long time. So hopefully they go well. I know I'm going to visit as much as I can.
Yeah, if you're not really familiar, if you haven't heard of this store, it's in the strip mall that, if you're in Marysville, it's in the strip mall that's right behind
McDonald's
in Mill Valley. It's in the same area as the Marysville Sports Pub, right?
Yep.
Okay, so if you are interested in games, you should go check that out. I still need to go check it out myself.
Yeah, they're good people. They were super nice. So, yeah, what did I get while I was there? I got a copy of Until Dawn for the PS4.
Yeah.
I started playing that. That's fun. That's kind of a, did you say, a choose-your-own-adventure?
Yeah,
I know that's
choice-based. Yeah.
Choice-based, yeah. I didn't think I was going to like something like that, but our buddies John and Ethan both said that it was really, really fun game, and I've enjoyed that so far. I was afraid that I wouldn't pay attention close enough and I would miss my opportunity to make decisions, or the few times you hit buttons and stuff.
Yeah.
But so far it's been good. And then I got a PS2 game, Gauntlet Dark Legacy.
Oh yes.
So Gameplay Unlimited.
Gameplay Unlimited, where the gameplay is
unlimited
I'm assuming.
So they were still putting the final touches on their store. So I want to go back to see how it ended up finishing up. But
yeah, cool. Yeah, it's always good to have small stores like that in town. I love to support those kind of businesses. So if you're in the market for games and stuff, go check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. They're cool. They are cool.
Yeah.
What else you got going on?
Well, I have another, I guess we could talk about this. I have another project. It's kind of a secret project, but I'll talk about it on here.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think you know about it, though. I'm writing a book of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of ground to a halt because of my latest, just everything that's going on. But it's going to be illustrated, too.
So oh.
I'm drawing an object that's related to each of the poems.
Very cool.
So I won't say too much about it because I do kind of want it to be a surprise. But it's been a really interesting experience because I don't write poetry very often, if ever. But it's very rewarding because it's exercising a part of my brain that I don't use very often. It's the poetry writing mm-hmm. quadrant of the brain.
Yeah.
So I'm setting out to write 50 poems.
Oh, okay.
I've written 25.
Nice.
I don't know if they're any good. You know, most poetry probably isn't very good. I don't know, but...
Yeah.
But this is a different kind of poetry. Yeah. You'll see what I mean when it comes out.
If it accomplished what you wanted...
True. I like
then
that.
Then it's good.
I like that. And it's, so yeah. far, it has been doing everything I want.
Poetry's... subjective.
Yeah.
Subjective.
Well, I know you wrote poetry, or you know, and do you still write poetry sometimes?
I do. Yeah. Yep.
It's very difficult because you have to capture the essence of what you're saying in such a small space,
mm-hmm.
in such a distinct way. But it's also very cool to see the different types of, I don't know, it's just the way that each different poem is coming out is really cool for me. And it's not something I've really tried very seriously before, so I'm, you know, boldly going where I've never mm-hmm. gone before kind of thing.
Very cool. It's actually, after we had done the one book together, Poetic Justice,
yeah.
plug for our collab, I had started doing, and I think I shared some of them with you, the same vein. But instead of doing superheroes, I was doing movie monsters.
Yes, that's right.
And I had done about a half dozen or so. And then I kind of, who knows, life got in the way. And,
right.
And I stopped. And recently I was going through the notes on my phone, and I came across them. And so, and then after talking to you about your projects, like, oh, yeah, we were working on that. So, I think what I'm going to do, though, to help, I think what the biggest problem was is I ran into, well, who do I write about next?
Yeah.
And so I think I'm going to start making some notes so that instead of just waiting to think of someone and then write it, it's like, okay, let's find a person or a movie monster, and then the inspiration will come based on that.
Yeah, I would love to do a sequel to Poetic Justice.
Yeah,
called, like, Poetic...
What would we do?
Horror. I yeah, don't know.
Poetic. Ooh.
Something.
Like I kind of like that. Yeah. Poetic horror. Most people be like, when's it ever poetic? Well, then you don't watch movies. Yeah. Or you watch the wrong kind. But yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
So I just got to, you know, pencil that in with finishing our other yeah. project. So we'll get there, though. Unfortunately, the way my brain works with the writing is it all happens up in my head.
Yeah.
And then once I'm comfortable with it, then I put it down, and then so it's always in spurts where I'll write like 6 pages and then have all the notes for the photos
yeah.
that we're going to do, and then it kind of stops, and then I've got to write the next part in my head and yeah. then get it down. So probably not the most efficient way to do things.
You know, everybody works in their own way, and as long as it gets on the page in the end,
there we go.
I count it as a win.
All right.
Awesome. A win is a win.
A win is a win. Just win, baby. But yeah. What other things have you done? Seen any movies? Or...
I did. I was going to talk about Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Actually, I saw Ghostbusters and Dune.
Oh, yes.
So let's
yes.
start with Dune, because I saw it first. Dune Part 2. I thought it was pretty good. I liked... They really got the message, I think, across that Frank Herbert was trying to present, which is you have to be weary of charismatic leaders. Mm. And they really got that across, I think, in this one. Visually very, very good looking. Mm-hmm. I think Dune Part 1 was a lot of setup for Dune Part 2. Have you seen Dune Part 1?
I have not seen it yet. No.
So Dune Part 1, I think, was a lot of setup for Dune Part 2. And they really, like, a lot of the action took place in Dune Part 2. Really great cast. I thought everybody was pretty good, pretty well casted there. And it was a fun watch. I mean, I don't know if it was fun, but you know what I mean? Like, it was a good watch. I would recommend it, especially if you like Dune Part 1. Go finish the saga. They really did the movie and the book justice by splitting it into two parts. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen David Lynch's Dune.
Yes.
Sorry to hear that. So, David Lynch's Dune was just weird. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love David Lynch, but, like, Dune was not good.
Well, and so, what's funny about that is, I was too young to know whether it was good or not.
Yeah.
That was one of the movies that whenever it was on, Dad would leave it on that.
Because, really?
Yes. And I don't know if he, it was because he thought it was good, or it's just that he read the book and loved the book.
Yeah.
And then, because Dad was rarely ever just watching a movie. It was, sure, a movie was on, and then he was reading a book while he was watching the movie. See. So, yeah, I haven't watched the original Dune in years. Yeah.
Well,
so,
I will say this. Obviously, it helps that we have progressed so much further in technology, because sci-fi movies are so much more visual, mm-hmm, and the things that you have to make are not real.
Yeah.
So the effects and stuff were obviously a lot better, but that's not really fair, you know what I mean? Like, to compare, because obviously they didn't have anything. But the story was just more evenly paced and followed the book better. So yeah, I thought it was worth a watch. It was a little long. It's like close to 3 hours, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know how. I mean, it didn't feel bad, you know. I'm just so used to breaking things up because of streaming.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it was good. And I went with my friends and we had a good time. And that was the first time I'd been to the movie theater since Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, which was good. But that was back in like August.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I hadn't been to the theaters in forever. But then yesterday I saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. I'm just going to say my biggest complaint, I already told you this, my biggest complaint was that there were too many characters in there, mm-hmm, which you had heard before.
Yep.
But other than that, I thought it was a pretty good, you know, I mean, like, here's the thing, like, I have Ghostbusters fever. I love Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. And so to me, they could have made the worst movie ever and I would have been like, oh, it's Ghostbusters, let's go watch it. So it was, you know, it wasn't terrible. It was, the thing is, everybody wants to compare all the Ghostbusters movies to Ghostbusters, the first Ghostbusters.
Sure.
But there's no way you're ever going to do that again, because that was a time and a place and a magic that happened. And it's just not going to happen again.
Yeah.
I don't think.
But it's an enjoyable watch.
But it is. I liked it. If you liked Afterlife, you'll probably like this one. It's got a different villain this time. You saw Afterlife, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and you know they brought back Gozer.
Yep.
So, this one is a different villain, and it's a little more, I don't know. But it's a good movie, and, well, I liked it. I don't know if it's a good movie, but I liked it.
There we go. That's a better way to say it.
Well, you know, I have a certain taste in movies.
Yeah.
If there's ghosts to be busted, I'll watch it.
Well, as we'll discuss in an upcoming episode, we have an affinity for good, bad movies.
Yeah.
Which, I'm going to talk about one here in a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, entertaining.
Yeah, I wouldn't classify this as a good bad movie because it wasn't bad. It was just,
sure,
you know, it was just there were some parts where I was like, oof, okay. But then, you know, as a whole, I'd recommend it if you're a Ghostbusters fan. It was a good follow up to Afterlife, I thought.
Good.
So
awesome.
But yeah, so those were the two movies, which is like a lot of
haven't seen a movie in a theater since August, and then you see two in 1 month. Man.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I've got the theater bug now.
Got the theater bug. All right.
Speaking of theaters, I did see a play, too.
Oh!
A real legit play.
Like they acted and everything?
Yeah, yeah.
And they were on a stage?
It was on stage. I saw The Man Who Came to Dinner, presented by the Silver Scene Players, which, if you're not familiar, is the local theater troupe here in Marysville. And it was a comedy about a man who got hurt and had to stay at a... He's like a famous radio DJ, and he got hurt in a small town in Ohio, and he had to stay cooped up in the house and kind of like all the stuff that happened around him. It was a comedy, and it was really good. This was the biggest play I've ever seen in the Silver Scene Players, because there was like 20 cast members.
Oh, wow.
There was a lot of people in this play, and I haven't seen one quite that big. Maybe I have, but this was a big play. And so I went with my dad. My dad loves plays. I don't know if you know that.
I did not know that about him.
He loves plays. And so we go to plays every once in a while when we can find them. And it was a really interesting play. It was really funny. I don't know if it's originally it was a play based on a movie, or if it was based on a movie that they adapted to play. I don't know. Or if it was a play first and then a movie. I don't know. But there is a movie version from like the 40s or something. It's an old one. But yeah, it was an interesting play, and I knew like half the cast personally, so that was funny.
So, we usually are they doing more shows of it, or was it just for?
No, it was just the weekend,
just that one weekend. Yeah. I feel bad that we didn't get to that because we usually try to go to those too. Really? Yeah, I'm trying to think of the last one we did that we went there. Oh gosh, it was what was the play? Oh, my goodness. We went and saw it because two of Wyatt's friends were in it. And now I can't think of it. That's terrible.
Oh.
Oh, gosh.
Was it a Silver Scenes play?
No.
Or a high school play?
No, because there were kids that were graduated in college that were in it. So, but I think they were all younger. It wasn't diverse like the Silver Screen. Yeah. So I think it was a different group.
Okay.
Because the group you're talking about, I've seen them do, they've done some musicals before, yeah, right? Yeah. And yeah.
They usually do like one play and one musical a year, I think.
Exactly. So
if you're in the Marysville area, go support the Silver Screen Players because it is not easy work to do.
No, it's not. That's why I feel bad that I totally missed that they were doing that.
Yeah, it's they don't always advertise, like you don't always see advertisements for it. I just know because I don't know how I knew. I think I follow them on Facebook. Do you follow them?
I do not.
Yeah, you should follow them on Facebook and you'll get the skinny.
Okay.
The scoop.
I'll get on the Facebook. The Meta.
The Meta.
The Meta.
I think was this the month that the Meta went down, or was that last month?
I think it was this month.
You remember that?
Yeah.
It logged me out, and I was like, okay. And so I was like, did I get hacked or something? But, like, everybody was out.
Yeah.
It went down.
Yeah, because that happened to Sharon, too. It did not kick me out, though.
Oh, really?
Or I just didn't get onto it for a few days anyways, and because I'm not always on there. So.
Well, I was trying to post a Man About Town, and I was like, come on. This is a daily thing.
Jeez. Did you get it on there?
Yeah. Well, after it came back up, so.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Hopefully I saw that one.
Oh, I'm sure you did. I don't remember what day it was, but it was. I was just like, that's the thing about posting a comic every day is you really rely on social media working.
Yeah. Darn it. So if the book was down, was the gram down too?
Yeah.
Man.
I think so.
Zuckerberg, what's he doing?
He was probably putting some kind of tracking device on all their...
Yeah. Trying to show that we need Facebook more than we need the TikTok. Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
Man. That rascal.
Rascal.
Well, I also watched two new movies.
Oh, okay.
One in the theater, one was not. Sharon and I went and watched a movie called Imaginary, which is a horror movie I don't know that I like to put horror movies in the good bad category, because it's just they're their own little thing, right? But so the story with Imaginary is you got this woman who's married, got two stepdaughters. They move back into her old house, or her parents' old house, and her youngest stepdaughter finds a bear. Ooh. And gets an imaginary friend. And then bad things start happening. And it turns out that not all imaginary friends are good.
Uh-oh.
And they're not all imaginary. Some of them are actual entities, beings, sprites, whatever, from other realms. And most of them are benevolent, but some of them feed off of the creativity of children.
Oh, dear.
And so, it was a fun little movie. Had a couple of jump scares. Obviously, the premise gets a little a little out there.
Yeah.
And, but I'd say it's worth another watch. That's one I could watch again. Put in the Shocktober lineup every now and again. So I think it did mid on Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb, and that's probably fair. The other one is definitely a bad movie, but it's a good bad movie, and it's a remake of a good bad movie, Roadhouse.
Oh, God.
So we streamed that the other night on Prime, and I don't know what I watched. I really don't know what I expected either. But I'll give them credit. They knew what they were making. And they leaned hard into making a good, bad movie, action. It was ridiculous. And they obviously updated it. Anyone who's watched the original, at least Dalton in the original was a cooler, right? He was brought in to tame. And in this one, he's just a washed up UFC fighter. And so it's like, how do you expect him to do all this stuff? But it works. Jake Gyllenhaal, he's fun in it. He carries the darn thing. The acting is absolutely, for most everyone else, the acting is just terrible, which is what you would expect. And then Conor McGregor's in it, and Conor McGregor's in it, and he's like the main antagonist.
Oh, gosh.
He's the heavy. The main antagonist is this, this money-grubbing, thug's son. But, Conor McGregor's character, he's walking around like a cartoon character this whole time. It is almost like they just told him, hey, just act as insane as you possibly can to where it does not make any sense. And he pulled it off. So either he's a great new actor, or he's just so bad that they're like, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. He's walking funny in every scene. He's just making weird sounds. It is ridiculous. But I'd watch it again.
Oh.
It was fun. But the one complaint I have, and I get they want to have their own thing, right? They didn't have a character like Sam Elliott's character. There was no, old buddy that comes, and maybe it's because they made him a UFC fighter, but you still could have brought someone in from like his hometown or something. But anywho, it is, if you enjoyed the first Roadhouse, watch it. That's my opinion. But it's not good.
It's not good.
It's not good, but it's great.
I do want to mention, I watched a documentary.
Oh.
About Dinosaur Jr.
Okay.
It's called Freak Scene. I rented it on Amazon. It is about the history of the band Dinosaur Jr.
I was going to say, you might want to tell people who Dinosaur Jr. is.
Dinosaur Jr. is a, what would you call them, like an alternative rock band?
Yeah.
They started in the 80s. They broke up. They got back together, like many bands. But they were, they're very alternative, I would say.
Yes.
At least their early stuff is. You might know their song. Well, you probably don't know their songs. So, but look them up. They're good. I like them. But I watched... Oh, God.
No, I was going to say, what would... For someone who doesn't know them, and they go on to Spotify and look up... or Amazon Music, yeah, whatever, and look up Dinosaur Jr., give them three songs they have to listen to.
Freak Scene, because that's the name of the documentary. You would probably also know Feel the Pain. And then, what's another one? Well, personal favorite of mine is Over It. That's one of their newer songs. Well, I shouldn't say newer, but it's newer than those two.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I listen to those three. And you'll get kind of a feeling of what Dinosaur Jr. is all about. Actually, let me replace Over It with The Wagon, because that's more of a classic song. Get their early stuff and then figure out what you like. So, yeah, so they were a really interesting band, man. Their early years, they pretty much hated each other.
I learned. Oh, yeah, okay.
They did not get along very well. They were very toxic. They self-destructed. And then eventually they kind of matured and got together. So, back together. So, it was a really interesting documentary. I'm on a pretty big Dinosaur Jr. kick right now. I ordered a couple of their albums for my car because it's not got an aux cord, I don't think.
Really?
I don't think so. I haven't found it yet, if there is one.
Did you look in the console? Like the middle console?
Yeah, John looked and he's not sure. So I'll have to do some more research. But it's kind of nice to have CDs because you listen to the whole thing.
Absolutely. You know what you could do, though?
Huh?
I'll share the link with you. We bought Maddie a Bluetooth converter.
Uh-huh.
And you plug it into the, well... God, this shows my age. The cigarette lighter. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The AC. You plug it into that, and she compare her phone to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the one she has, the one we bought her, has an aux input, too.
Wow.
So you can plug it into that, and it'll go through your speakers.
That would be really nice, because it's much easier to do that than change CDs while you're mm-hmm. driving.
Yeah. Does your car have Bluetooth?
I don't think so.
Well, you don't need it if you plug it into that. So
okay,
yeah, because yeah. That's
send me that link.
I will. She loves it. It works wonderfully.
Well, you know what? Segwaying into music.
Oh,
we had our record hop.
The record shop hop.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. Well, that was, man. So, the first one we did was me, you, and our buddy Weldy.
Yep.
Who will be a guest on the future podcast episode. We're still trying to plan that out. But we went to Used Kids. And then we went to Record Per Minute.
Yep.
And did we do a third one?
Or was not it that day.
Not that day. That was just the two. Yeah. So Used Kids used to be in a different spot.
Oh, did it?
Yes, than where it is now. So I'm wondering if I went to it when I first moved to Columbus, and I just don't remember. But I had never been to this location. And, man, that was a blast.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That was a little overwhelming.
It very overwhelming. I didn't know where to start. And they've... Of all the places we've gone, because me and Weldy ended up going a second day.
Yeah.
The very next week. And Used Kids is by far the largest of the record stores we went to so far. They had the most space, but boy, it was jam-packed full of stuff. They did have things organized to the point where you had all your genres, which was nice, and they had a section for new arrivals, so that, which I think every store we went to, even the second week, had that, which is nice for the people who go all the time, because you can just go there and see the new stuff instead of going through and seeing the same records over and over and over again. But yeah, so they had, you know, they had their heavy metal section, they had their rock section and country, and they had the soundtrack section at Used Kids, which is what got got me into trouble. But they even had a nice discount section where they just had these milk crates or these crates filled with records, and they were all, you know, deeply discounted. But that's where it got kind of overwhelming, because then they had stuff just stacked on the floor.
Yeah.
And then you could look down underneath, and oh my goodness, it was a bit much.
Yeah. There were a lot of records. And you have to keep in mind, records are super thin.
Yeah.
So they don't take up a lot. I mean, they take up a lot of space in some regard, but not a lot of depth.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, just thousands of records in this place. Thousands. It was fun. I mean, it was nice. And I probably spent more than I should have there, especially since it was the first stop. But I noticed, so when we were there, I had found that Shooter Jennings tribute to Warren Zevon, and you found that on CD somewhere?
Yes, I bought it on CD for my car.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So that was awesome. But what did you end up getting there?
I got... At Used Kids, I got the Nutley Brass Plays the Ramones.
That's right. That's right.
So that is a really interesting vinyl where this brass cover band, or this brass ensemble, covered a bunch of Ramones songs.
Yeah.
And here's my thing. When I'm looking for vinyl, it's got to be kind of weird.
Yes.
And I hope, and usually it's got to be color. And that was both of them. And I was like, oh, I love the Ramones. I love the oddity that it is just like, it's like elevator music almost. And so I bought that. And then at Records Per Minute, you found for me the Mystery Science Theater 3000 soundtrack.
That's right.
Which I was kind of hoping I'd find something from them, but I wasn't, you know, holding my breath. So those were the two that I got because they both met my requirements.
Yep.
Oddity, color, soundtrack, you know, score kind of thing.
Yeah. I when I go to the record stores, or when I'm looking at records, I'm kind of the same.
Yeah.
I want, if I've already got a bunch of stuff downloaded in Spotify, or I have it on my flash drive that's downloaded from CDs or whatever, I want to get something different. Unless it's just a band I absolutely love. Because I did end up picking up a couple of Huey Lewis in the News records over those two visits.
Right.
But at Used Kids, I found two new records, but they were in the discount pile for, one was called, Lady Couch.
Yes.
Which was, I've listened to that one, and that was really good. They're kind of like a alt-rock, folky sounding band. Absolutely dug them. That was a great record. And then the other one was, and now all my records are downstairs.
Right.
It's a band from Georgia. Now I can't think of what their name was. But they were compared to REM.
Oh, really?
So, so I got them, and they were discounted too, brand new record. But then I got a G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
I got the G.I. Joe... I guess I'll call it a soundtrack. It's literally all the, it's just tracks, separate, different tracks from different episodes of the animated show.
Yeah.
Now, what I will say, when they played the main title theme, they don't play the lyrics. It is literally just the music.
Wow.
So that threw me off a little bit. But what was funny is Wyatt came in and we were doing his taxes, and the record was going. And he really dug it.
Good.
And then when I told him what it was, he goes, oh. Because then you started hearing, you know, some of the main theme. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
So, let's see. What else did I get at Used Records? I got, the Cowboy soundtrack.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, you found that one.
That was on gold vinyl, right?
That was on gold vinyl.
That's sweet.
So, for those who don't know, The Cowboys is a John Wayne movie. But John Williams did the soundtrack of Star Wars and Indiana Jones and Superman and Harry Potter and whatever.
What have you, everything.
Schindler's List, Jurassic Park. So, if Steven Spielberg directed it. So I haven't listened to that one yet. And then Records by Minute, I got the John Carpenter
Lost Themes
Part 1, which was phenomenal. And then I got a band out of Cleveland called Pale Creation. And they were classified as core metal. And man, that is what they are. They are the... You can't even understand what they're saying kind of lyrics, right? Which usually I'm not too into, but man, the sound is just really good. But they had kind of a weird vinyl too. It was like a black and blue speckled album. So yeah, Records Per Minute, much smaller space. Kind of what I'm used to with record stores. Wouldn't you say they had more new stuff than they had used stuff?
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But they were still a good shop. The second record day that Weldy and I went to, we went to a place called Lost Weekend Records, which is off of High Street. They were a little bit bigger than Lost Weekend, or they were a little bit bigger than Record by Minute, not as big as Used Kids. They were good. I liked them. They definitely had much more used stuff than new, but they still had new records in there too. I ended up getting a Jim Croce album.
Oh, nice.
There that I've never seen before. And it was a collection of stuff that he did before he became famous. And they were actually doing it before his plane crash.
Oh.
So I got that, and I got a Huey Lewis in the News album 4, which I know we talked about before. My contention is that's actually better than Sports.
Ooh, hot
although
take.
I love Sports, but 4, I think there's not a bad song on there.
Yeah.
Then we went to, well, the new Half Price Bookstore reopened on Lane Avenue. I guess it's not new. They just reopened. So we went there, and I got a Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
I think. What did I get there? Oof. Now I can't remember. Because I went there twice in less than a week. I got some books, a Godzilla movie, some Voltron, the original, some Adam West animated Batman, and some books, which I can't remember the books I got right now. I'll have to go down and look. But then we went to Elizabeth's Records on Indianola, which anyone that's familiar with the Indianola area, it was like 2 or 3 doors down from Studio 35. So it had the used record vibe, store vibe. Just a cool older dude working the counter. He had his older cat there with him, Jonesy. But yeah, they were smaller and a bunch of stuff in there. So it was a little hard to navigate, but I absolutely love the vibe. And I got another copy of that Jim Croce album that I'd seen earlier that day. I got one for Maddie. And then I got this 60s and 70s, well, maybe 70s folk rock singer. His Jamie Brockett is his name. Never heard of him before in my life. But I went ahead and got a copy. And boy, it was really good. I enjoyed that a lot. So now I'm going to have to find his earlier stuff because this was his second album. I got a Hoyt Axton album. People who don't know who he is, Most people would know him as the dad from Gremlins.
Oh, yeah.
So this is kind of a, I guess, kind of a country album. It's really good. He does a cover of Lay Lady Lay, the Bob Dylan song. But it is a good listen. I got the soundtrack for the Clint Eastwood Richard Burton movie Where Eagles Dare, which is really good. Got a lot of military sounding songs, you know, a lot of drums, snare drums and stuff. And then I got, what else did I get there? Just so many shops in the in those 2 weeks' time, but it was fun. Weldy's really gotten into the record collecting, so we've been enjoying that. I'm trying to think what he grabbed. He grabbed quite a few good thing, cool things too. So yeah, so I think that's going to end up being a thing throughout the summer. Just every once in a while, go and hit a new place. Because there was another place on Indianola that we did not go to, and then there's a record shop on State Street that he found that we didn't end up going to. So that'll probably be the one on State Street for sure. We'll probably end up going to, because it looked pretty cool. But yeah, the Elizabeth Records and Lost Weekend, I would definitely go to again. Well, Used Kids too. Used Kids was great. Wyatt ended up going there. Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah, he went with a friend while he was here for spring break. And I don't know if he ended up getting any records, but he did get a shirt.
So, oh, I didn't even know that they sold shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, they had shirts. It was funny because I saw him wearing it. He came back up to finish his taxes because he had a snafu that happened. So he was wearing the shirt. It wasn't the style he wanted. He saw, his friend saw this one shirt and he really dug the style. So, but he asked for it in a large, so they grabbed a large, and when he got home and opened it, it was a completely different style. So, but yeah, definitely Used Kids is definitely worth going to. Lost Weekend for sure, and Elizabeth. I like Record Per Minute, and if I was in the area, I'd probably stop in again. But I enjoy sifting through the old records.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a comic shop. I want to see the back issues. I want to see the dollar bins or just the older comics. So the reissues are fine, and at least you know it'll play well, I guess. But I want to find, like you, I want to find Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah, that's right.
I found Kris Kristofferson's first album at Elizabeth's record. I've been looking for that at every shop we went to and couldn't find it, and he had it. So that was the other one I got.
That was
which
cool.
It's a really good album, too. I enjoy that. But yeah. So, record shop hop.
Yeah.
If you enjoy records, go to those places. Let's see what else happened.
I think that's about it for me. I mean, I've been reading a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
I should talk about my midlife crisis.
Oh, let's hear it.
I've had a couple of revelations recently. I don't know if I've told you this, but I think I probably have. I want to try and start a small press publishing company.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I've been looking into doing that, so I can publish my stuff under an actual imprint.
Yeah.
And publish my friends and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of have a nice little group of people there. So I've been looking into that.
Okay.
So that's one thing that you might consider a midlife crisis. And the other thing is I ordered a saxophone.
Nice.
Now, the thing is, I have wanted to play saxophone for many years. And I don't want to regret not trying.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my tax return and I bought a cheap saxophone. It's on the way.
Nice. Should be here tomorrow. Is it an alto sax, a tenor sax,
alto.
A bass sax?
Alto.
Nice.
Should be here tomorrow.
Now, when you learn to play it, are you going to wear your fedora?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
That's essential.
Very good.
But I just have wanted to play for so long that I just was like, you know what, it's time to try this and see.
Now, for those who don't know, you do play the drums.
I do play the drums. You know, I haven't played as much lately.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to try something new musically.
How do you feel you're going to tackle learning how to play? Are you going to watch videos or get...
Yeah, I'm going to watch some videos on YouTube. I'm going to try and teach myself how to relearn to play, to learn to read music. I figure with the power of the internet, I can probably learn how to do that. You know, not quickly, but, you know, if I stick with it, I think I can do it.
Man, you can be your one-man band.
That's right. I've been listening to some a little bit of jazz lately.
Yeah.
Charlie Parker.
Yep.
And he could play. Well, he could play, you know. He could play the sax. So I've been a little bit inspired to try and do some sax.
Very cool. Yeah. I mentioned this on an episode, but we, at Jay's Soul Food. Jay's Soul Food? Oh, man. Yeah, that's the name of the place. And Powell, I took Wyatt there. And it was they had a live band there, and it was called the Sax Tones.
Oh yeah.
And the dude who played the sax, God, it was masterful. Yeah. It was just amazing. He had that thing screaming, but it was amazing. It was absolutely fantastic. So I look forward to your journey.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that we can probably talk about next month once it gets here. You know, I'm just kind of at the point where I'm like, if I want to try something, I think I should try it, because I don't want to have to regret not doing things. Yeah.
Well, I know we talked about the accordion.
Yeah.
I always thought it'd be fun to learn how to play that, but those, unfortunately, are a little out of my price range.
Yeah, they're a little expensive.
Yeah. So if anyone out there knows someone who wants to gift me an accordion or sell it to me on the cheap.
Yeah. I think it would be I would love to learn how to play the accordion, because as we were talking about, I would just learn Weird Al's entire.
Yeah. But we could learn how to play our theme song.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We learn how to play that, and we actually open an episode with one of us playing it.
Yeah.
And see if people could tell the difference.
Yeah.
See, there we go.
I didn't think about that.
So you learn the sax, I learn the accordion. Wyatt comes in and either plays guitar or the clarinet, one or the other, or keyboard.
Yeah, or all of them. We can just record it.
Oh, yeah. And then we mix it.
Yeah.
Awesome. There we go. We've got it.
Yeah. What would a band name be for that?
Oh, man. We'll have to come up with something clever.
Yeah, something clever.
Yeah. But awesome. Oh, shoot. I'm sitting here looking at two books. So I read two graphic novels this month. That was it. My reading was scant. But one is called The Colonized, Zombies versus Aliens. I got that at Alter Ego Comics. Actually, I think both these graphic novels I got from Alter Ego. If you're in the Lima area, you should give Mark and Alex and the crew a visit. They're cool. Written by Rael? How would you say that? Rael?
I think Ryle, yeah.
And then the art is by a gentleman, Moss. Let me see if I can get their names. Chris Ryle and Drew Moss. There we go. But we haven't, this episode hasn't released yet, but who did that cover?
Is that Jeff Lemire?
No, it's not. Frank Avila.
I don't know why I thought that was Jeff Lemire.
But yeah, I absolutely love that cover. So when we talk, the episode that talks about artists and writers we like, should take a picture of that.
Yeah.
But anyways, Colonized, Zombies versus Aliens. I didn't even talk about the book. So aliens come to Earth. They're kind of an exploration party, but they were going to beam up a dead person to study Earthlings before studying real living ones. The problem is their tractor beam, when it hits the graveyard, it reanimates the people, turning them into zombies. And it's in a compound of this group that has seceded from the Union.
Okay.
So they're preppers. There's an interesting dynamic, because the leader of this group has passed away, and his son was modernizing them, making them making their carbon footprint, you know, non-existent, and doing things to, you know, make them more eco-friendly and stuff too. But then there's this faction of the group that doesn't appreciate that, and if you read it, you'll kind of see what they're patterned after. But then the zombies attack happen, and they have to kind of work together, and so yeah, it was a fun read. I enjoyed it very much. And it's you've got a government agent in there, and then you've got a rogue dude, and that's part of the faction. So it was fun. A little bit, it was a different take on the whole zombie thing,
yeah,
which is what I appreciated.
Yeah.
And then the aliens were fun. And then the other one, actually, I just finished reading this before you came over today. It's called Hauntthology, and it's written and drawn by Jeremy Haun, H-A-U-N. And this was something that he did during the pandemic. So, and they're all just a bunch of really short little stories. Some of them are just, you know, one or two pages long. And it was really an interesting read because you could see where the story could have been something more. But it was just like that idea, that little spark. And then that's what he did. Some of them were a little bit more haunting than others. Some were just, ooh, this would be an eerie sci-fi story. Or this would, so... I enjoyed it. The art was very good. I was trying to find the one story that I chuckled with at the end was the it was about, I don't want to go outside because I'll do bad things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't interact with people. But then the last page of it was just this cat saying I'll do bad things, and it's like, yeah. That's probably why most cats stay inside, right? But, yeah, it was just very unique. Some of the stories have things that connect them, but they're separate, which I thought was interesting. Not all of them. And there was one I think you would appreciate where it's literally the author and... he's being haunted by these stories.
Oh yeah.
And the titles of the stories.
Yeah.
And that one kind of hit because I am nowhere near on your level, but there are times where it's just like, man, I just can't get rid of that idea. Or I need to get that down.
I feel that.
So it was really interesting. Definitely something I'd read again because I bet I could get something out of the stories. Yeah. As short as they were, you pick something else out of it, you know, whether a piece of art or whatnot. So, but that's all I read.
Yeah, I jumped around a lot. I was reading a lot of nonfiction to
for my VHS
and How to Write Nonfiction. I was reading nonfiction about that and just a bunch of essays and stuff. So,
very cool.
Kind of all over the place.
Go figure.
Yeah. That's the name of my game, I guess.
Hey, you gotta keep it fresh.
That's right. You gotta keep the people guessing.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. You know what we didn't do?
Hmm.
We gotta look at the survey question.
Wait, did we do a survey question this week?
Didn't we?
I don't think we did.
Did I not put it out there?
I was thinking about that before, and I was like, I don't think we did one.
I thought I put it out there.
Oh, what was it?
If you could own one piece of
I don't think
movie memorabilia, what would it be? Oh shoot, did I not put that out there?
We'll do it next time and we'll do it live. Not really, but
you're right.
Didn't
post it.
I was thinking about that this morning.
Oh actually. My goodness.
I was like, we totally forgot.
We failed.
Yeah.
I even asked people at work.
Oh.
They gave me answers.
Well, we'll
hold it for April.
We'll put it on April.
Oh man.
Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning, and I was like, did we do that?
We sure didn't.
Ooh.
Man. There's the ADD. I know I talked to people about it, and I told people this is what we were going to post. And I think in my brain I told myself, yeah, we posted it.
Yeah. That happens.
We sure didn't, though. Because there's March. Oh. Well, what are you going to do, huh?
It's okay. We're only human.
That's it. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So, hey, look for April's survey question.
Yeah.
It's going to be, because I'm sure we said this at the end of February's post, it's going to be, if you could own one piece of movie memorabilia, a prop from a movie, what would it be?
That's tough.
And then we're going to, we'll post that. I promise this time. Not an April Fool's. Oh, man.
Not an imaginary story.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible. Anyway, so yeah. So if you've got an answer to that, go ahead and hit us up. Otherwise, look for the post.
Yeah.
And hopefully I've got some more books that I've read that I'll be able to talk about. And, ooh, at the end of this month, you know what movie opens?
At the end of March or at the end of...
At the end of March. So we'll be talking about it in April. Hopefully we go and see it.
What?
Godzilla and Kong.
Oh, that comes out? That's really soon. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like March 29th.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm pretty sure.
We have some homework.
We've got that. And then there's another horror movie coming out in April that I think looks really good. The First Omen
is what it's
called.
Yeah.
That looks pretty good. So
yeah.
we got some stuff to do.
That's right. There's always more nerd stuff to do.
Always more nerdy stuff to do. And maybe I'll have some more records to talk about.
Yeah.
Some new games that I haven't played yet from...
It's dangerous.
Ooh, you know what we'll definitely have.
Hmm.
Should we tease this?
Yeah, what is it?
Let's tease it. So we're very close to the end of our D&D journey.
That's true.
It has been a year and a half in the making.
Yeah.
Right?
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. It's drug out. But you know, we're all adults. We all have things that come up. We have talked the group into, they're all willing that after the end of this campaign, we're going to do a group, recording podcast talking about our experience in D&D. And we've already got our next campaign already picked that we're going to do. We're going to take some time off in between so that we can kind of let this simmer down. But yeah, we're going to get the group together and record an episode, and we'll just release it willy-nilly.
Yeah.
I think.
I like that.
And so be looking for, that should come up in April sometime.
Yeah.
Because literally this next time we get together will be probably the end of the campaign.
That's right. For better or for worse.
For better or for worse. And although I joke about probably for worse, but our group has really gotten through some tight spots. Your character's almost died twice. I think my character's in the worst shape of anyone for this next... Oh, well, no, Josh's character's pretty beat up. But, yeah, I shouldn't have picked up that statue.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of... No, I didn't take the mace. Fowler took that.
That's
that
right.
Statue showed me some of my sins. And, boy, that was costly. But, yeah. So, hopefully, that episode, look out for that. So, we'll have some fresh voices. And anyone who's ever thought about maybe getting into a D&D campaign but don't know what to expect, you can listen to that.
Yep.
And because almost everyone that's been part of this campaign is a newbie,
mm-hmm.
or it's been a really long time since we've been part of it.
Right.
So it was a new experience for everyone, basically, except for the DM. So, but yeah, so that'll be coming up too. So, all right. What episodes are going to be coming up in April? Do we know? We've got
indie comics that we had to re-record and anime.
And, oh, the anime's coming up in April. So we'll have to let, we had two guests on there, Cody and Ethan, who Ethan is part of the D&D group.
Yeah.
So we'll have to let them know so they can tell their friends.
That's right.
So I don't think we've ever done that before, let people know what's coming up.
No, we haven't.
We probably should do
we
that
We should
more
do
often.
That, yeah.
Yeah. So indie comics and anime.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. Well, all right, guys. I think that's about it for us. So let us know how your March was, and I guess we'll see you in April. Stay nerdy.